Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to us once again. You know, isn't love a wonderful thing? Oh, you don't have to say nothing, but you know it is. And I'm not talking about just about the love that spouses have for one another or that parents have for their children. I'm talking about if we could all just come together and love one another. Can you imagine what kind of world we would live in? What kind of world this would be if we could just love one another like we're supposed to? This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. But before we go into our lesson, let us take a moment and pause as we go to God in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, not only because You have blessed us, but because You have given us Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. We thank You most of all that You gave us Your Son to come down into this world to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. We thank You this morning, Father, for a bright, sunny day. And even though the sun may not be out at the moment, we are still able to have a little sunshine in our lives because we know You. We thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for all and everything You have done for us up until this very present moment. Father, we realize that we did not have to be here right now. We realize that it's Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy that kept us here. And when I lay down, when each and every one of us lay down on last night, we were unsure of what the future and what the night would bring upon us. But You touched us this morning, Lord, and You got us up. Thank You, Lord. Father, there were many who lay down last night that didn't get up this morning. And we want to thank You that we were not one of those, and we want to continue to be in Your blessings, O Lord. We pray this morning for Your Son, on behalf of Your Son, Jesus, who came to the cross on our behalf. We thank You for everything You do for us, O Lord. We thank You for this congregation and its membership. We thank You for the leadership and their families. We pray for their continued strength, health, and their ability to carry on. We thank You for each and every member in here, O Lord, and we pray and thank You for all of those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We just pray and ask You that You continue to bless them and their families as well. We pray this morning because we know there's a long sick list, O Lord, and we just pray because we know You know already who's on the sick list. But we're asking You that if it be Your will that You would bless them, that they may soon get better. But if they don't get better, O Lord, we know that Your will might be done. Thank You for all of those who may have lost loved ones during this week and during these past few days since we came together the last time. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are serving in Thy name's sake. We thank You this morning for everything and everybody, O Lord, and we especially pray and thank You for those who are called Christians because they love Christ, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for all the blessings that You have continued to give us, and may they continue on. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we go through the furtherance of these services, we pray and ask You that they may be found decent and order and acceptable in Thy sight. We also pray for this morning for those who still may be on their way, that if it be Your will, You would give them safe passage. We pray for those who may be traveling today and pray and ask You that You give them safe passage, that they may soon return unto us once again. We pray and ask You for all of these blessings and many more, O Heavenly Father. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. The Lord we serve has many attributes. The Lord we serve is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. But the greatest gift of all, the greatest thing of all that the Lord has given us is love. Many people today find it hard to express love toward one another. That is true love. I heard a saying that went something like this. One can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. Even the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, speaks of no matter how and what, how many, what one may possess and yet have not love, though one may have faith enough to move mountains, one and one does not have love, the writer says, I am nothing. If you shall sell and give all my goods to feed the poor and not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is the cornerstone of God's attributes toward mankind. As a love so great, it cost God His only Son, His only begotten Son, and cost heaven its crown jewel. But it's good for us because in expressing His love toward us, Jesus came down on and hung, bled, and died on the cross. So for a few moments this morning, we want to talk about God's love for man. God's love for man. In the text of 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 1, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. So this morning let us look and just see how God shows His love. Number one, He gave us His Son. He gave us His only Son. This is without a doubt the best and the greatest gift ever given. No matter how many gifts you may receive in your lifetime, you'll never receive another gift like the gift of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ coming down to this earth to hang, to bleed, and die. A gift that shows everlasting life, everlasting love, everlasting and eternity forever if you live by and be obedient to God, be obedient to God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many have died in wars. Wars that are sometimes fought for good causes, such as freedom and liberty. Some have died for their faith, and others have died for their loved ones. Yet, out of all of those who have died, none have died for sinners like Jesus did. In Luke chapter 19, in the verses number 10, the Bible says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I tell you something about love, church. Love doesn't have any measurement. When you tell somebody that you love them, how do you measure that love? Well, you know that when one tells his spouse or his girlfriend or her boyfriend, I love you, honey. But you cannot measure that love. You can only say that I'm going to do the best that I can to be what you want me to be, or I'm going to be the best I can to you. But you cannot measure that love. But Jesus came down to this world. He hung, He bled, and died on yonder's cross. And there is a measurement for that, to that, because He died that we might be saved. Here we are. We get to the heart of Jesus in His time here on earth. We find that His true mission was that of loving that which was of saving that which was lost. Never before, never again shall any man die for another man because he loves him. Never any more shall a man give his life on the cross for salvation of others. God showed His love for us by the life-giving blood by His Son, Jesus Christ. God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. I love you, but I don't know if I love you that much. To send my only Son down to this world to hang, to bleed, and to die. He died and He allowed His Son to be that death for us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, according to 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. So where is the proof that God shows His love toward us or toward man? In 1 John chapter 4, look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, if you will. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our love. And that big word, propitiation, is just the way that God shows His mercy towards sinner man who believes on Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you love God? And maybe I should rephrase that and say, how much do you love God? Do you love Him enough? Well, I can see the proof that many don't love God because there are many empty seats in the house this morning. I can see that many don't love God because they didn't come to the church this morning. I can see that some don't love God because they didn't think it was important enough to get up and make it out to the church house. But I tell you something, church. There's going to come a day when you are going to love Him. You're going to plead with Him because eternity is coming. And I heard it said before that there are only two things sure in life, and that's death and taxes. And I'll tell you something. You can quit paying taxes, but you'll never be able to quit dying. You can stop paying your taxes and say, I'm protesting against the government, so I'm not paying taxes anymore. But you cannot tell God, I'm going to quit dying, and you can't kill me anymore. You won't cause my death anymore. It just won't work because man must die. So you ought to live right so that you can die right. And nobody likes to talk about death. Nobody likes to know, but death is surely coming. And whether you like it or not, is not going to give you necessarily advance warnings. I wish that I could have an advance warning to know that I'm going to die on such and such day. And I'm sure that you would like to have a little bit of an advance notice on that too. But death comes at the least expected moment. Sometimes when we're sick and many folk that are terminally ill, they know that they're dying, but they still don't know when it's going to come. But you ought to love the Lord enough to show Him that you care enough and you think enough to obey Him and be obedient to His commands. He shows His love by His grace. Grace is a word that many of us use often. But the Father God and the Son Christ both can give us grace. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul wrote, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. But then Romans 5 and 15 speaks of the grace of God and the gift of grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abound unto many. So both grace comes from both Father and Son. Then notice in the familiar text of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where when Jesus speaks those familiar words to Paul when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So there's Jesus giving grace. Grace comes from both the Father and the Son. God gives us grace because He loves us. He gives us grace to get through the trials of life. And maybe you're not going through a trial right now. But I can guarantee you a trial may come your way real soon. God always have more grace to give when we need it. He will never run out of grace. And just think about it. If God can store up enough grace to give me when I need it in my time of upheaval, in my time of tribulation, in my time of trial, I need God, don't you? When you think about how much love God has for us, as mankind in this world, it's mind-boggling. Because without the love of God, I ask the question, as I ask in many instances, where would we be if God had not sent down His Son to save us? God always has that abundant supply of grace. And how do you know that? Somebody may say, well, in James chapter 4 and the verses number 6, The Bible says, but He giveth more grace. He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When we get too proud and who don't want to, and don't want to hear the word of God, God shall resist you then. But the humble shall be exalted, according to James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and ye shall be lifted up. I like being lifted up. I like when God lifts me up, because when God lifts me up, I can tell somebody else about the love He has for me. And about the love that He can have for them if they would simply but obey. But you gotta be humble. And some folk don't know the word humble. Humble means that you have become submissive to the Lord's will. It means that you have put yourself in a space, in a place where God can use you. Humble means that I'm not all about me. I'm about the love and the obedience to Jesus Christ, my Savior. God shows us His love toward us even when we don't show our love toward Him. Just as I mentioned a few moments ago, the church ought to be packed. Why should the church be packed? Because this is the house of God. And we need to be in here. And some will tell you on a dime that I don't really need to be in church to serve the Lord. Well, they've got all kind of gadgets and gizmos today they can use, but nothing is like coming to the house of the Lord. It just doesn't work when you're not in exalting and uplifting one another. That's what love is all about. Now, I don't expect you to come in here and grab your brother and your sister around the neck and just scream out an undying love for them. That's not what He's talking about. You're supposed to love your brother and sister like Christ loved us. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to give your life for them, but that means that you'll give obedience to God by doing what He tells you to do. When I love my enemy. And that's a hard thing to do, is to love your enemy. But it's a thing that you must do. You must love your enemy. Now, you don't have to like what they do and how they do what they do, but you must love them. You must love them enough that your love will shine through to them. And just maybe, they'll see God in you. You must learn to accept the fact that God knows everything. So when you don't do what you're supposed to do, God knows all about it. God shows His love toward us by offering us heaven. What a beautiful place, the words of a song says, how beautiful heaven must be. But I think it's beautiful because God has prepared it for His people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God has in store for us. For them that love Him, actually, it brings that word love out again. God has proven His love for us over and over. Now, if we want to know what He has prepared for us, all we have to do is love Him back. Because He loves us, He has prepared for those who love Him a place that's much better than this world in which we now live. A place of new and better living conditions. A place described in Revelation 21 and verse number 4, where John describes it as a place where tears will be no more. Death will be no more. Sorrow will be no more. Pain shall be no more. If that's not love, then help me to understand what the word love means. God is the greatest Father there ever was, there ever was, and ever will be. And let me tell you something, just in case you're wondering. Heaven is not a dream. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. Because in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. You heard of it, you heard of before in the word of truth. Our hope should be to make heaven our home. And I know that I would love to go to heaven, and I'm sure you would too. But we got to get it right down here first. We got to get it right down here. When you don't love me and somebody say, well, yeah, I don't like you, but I love God. But you're looking right in my face. But you don't love me. But you've never seen God. But you say you love Him. So I ask the question this morning, just how much are you willing to sacrifice and show your love for God? Because He has done so much for us. He has brought us from a mighty long way, some folk might say. Some folk might say, well, when I was in the midst of trials and troubles, He brought me through. Somebody might say, well, I love the Lord because I know He's on my side. But I tell you something, church. I'll ask you something. Are you on His side? You know, when sometimes when we get kind of in the midst, in the heat of the battle, we call upon the Lord. But I suggest to you calling upon Him before you get in the heat of the battle. Because when you're in the heat of the battle, you already committed yourself, and sometimes you commit yourself without the Lord. And there's nothing like love. And when I asked the question, somebody explained to me what love really is. Tell me, what does it mean to love one another, but then you don't tell one another? What does it mean to say, I love you, I care about you, but not love you? What does it mean when, look at the Bible itself in the text in chapter 1, once again it says, but what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. I'm almost done. I got a fast pace this morning. I got a quick pace this morning, and I did that on purpose. Well, when you think about the love of God, which is our hope and what He's done for us, we've got to consider that we can make heaven our home. I'm so glad this morning that God loved us enough to send Jesus to deliver us. Then I'm so glad that God loved us enough to allow Jesus to make His way back from earth unto heaven. I'm so glad this morning that He went back to the Father's house, which is in heaven, prepared for us room enough that we may be able to live with them in heaven. And you know what it means to live in heaven. I mean, when you don't have to worry about crying, when you don't have to worry about tears, when you don't have to worry about sorrow and pain, and sometimes when you get in pain on this earth, you cry out for help because the pain is so great. Well, that's enough right there to make me want to be a part of heaven's in heaven. I tell you, I can love the Lord enough, but I can't love Him enough for you. You've got to love Him for yourself. See, I can stand up here and I can preach and teach to you what you're supposed to do, but I can't do for you what you're supposed to do. And like I always tell you, don't call me in the end. Don't call for me when we're standing there before the judgment seat, because I'm going to be busy trying to say, I've got to explain my own actions to God. I can't explain yours. Well, Brother Carter, you know me. You know I used to come to church, and you know how I used to be obedient, and you know how I used to love. I don't have time. I won't have time to give God any good word for you. I'm going to be thinking of all the good words for myself. I'm going to try to make myself look the best that I can look. And then when He asked me everything He asked me, every time He asked me a question, I'm going to try to make sure I put Brother Carter in the best light of all. And then I'll simply tell you, do you remember when I talked to you about this or about that and you didn't want to hear me? Well, I can't help you now. I can't help you now because I'm all too busy doing for myself. I'm all too busy trying to get myself in order so that I can get into heaven. Oh, I want to go to heaven, do you? I want to get there, but I can't get there on your shoulders, and you can't get there on my shoulders. We've got to get there for ourselves. Every one of us, have a soul that that needs to be saved. I can't save yours. I can help you. And you can't save mine. You can help me. But we must love one another in order to get our souls. Because number one, the new commandment that Jesus gave, He said, love your neighbors as yourself. See, some folk don't love because they don't love themselves. If I don't love me, I don't know how to love you. If I don't love myself, then what can I do about loving somebody else? Well, you know where the answer comes from? Back to the Word of God. Back in the Word of God, it'll teach you all about love. And I like the Bible because there's no other book like the Bible. There's no other book like the Bible. It consists of 66 smaller books rolled into one book. And I tell you something about that one book. That one book can guide us from earth to glory. That one book can teach us how to treat one another. That one book can teach us right from wrong. That one book has everything that I need in this life to get eternal life in the end. So this morning, as you ponder the question, do you love the Lord? You need to consider how you can show the Lord that you love Him. And by coming to church, that's not enough all by itself. If you raise hell all through the week and then come to church on Sunday and become holier than thou. Now watch this now. If you just think that by your coming to church every so often, every other Sunday, not even every single Sunday, but every other Sunday, that's not going to cut it. See, God wants a committed life. Faithful folk. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if He says that we must love Him and love one another, you've got to do that through faith. Didn't the Bible teach us that with faith you can move, and faith is the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains? Now that means that if He says you've got to love, you've got to love. You don't have to question me about it. I don't know very much more about it than you do. All I know is what the Bible says. Love yourself love thy neighbor as thyself. Then love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love me, Lord, and teach me how to love others. That ought to be part of your prayer every day. Teach me to love. Teach me not just to say love, but teach me to do love. Teach me that, Father, when I need to get to one of my brothers or one of my sisters, that I can reach out and touch them and they'll know that I love them. I'm almost through. I said that a few minutes ago, but I am now for sure. When you love somebody, that means you'll go through some changes for them. Not only for them, but with them, as Brother Miles just helped me out here. Not only for them, but with them. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that loves us enough and gives us comfort. You know, sometimes when you can't speak the prayer that you want to pray, the Holy Spirit can interpret for you and He'll take it to God for us. So ask Him to teach you how to love. Ask God to teach you how to love like you're supposed to. And when you love, you won't have any problem with helping me out when I'm in my bad times or my bad situation. And don't think that we don't get in bad times and bad situations. The preacher gets in them too. I have troubles, trials, and tribulations just like you do. Sometimes I need your love more than you may need mine. But when I need love, I've been blessed enough that I can count on individuals to help me out. I'm not talking about somebody giving me money. That's not love. That's giving you something. I'm talking about somebody who can go to the master for me on my behalf. I'm talking about somebody who'll be there when I need them. I'm talking about somebody who can reach out and say, "Preacher, I'll go to the Lord on your behalf." Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have given us the fact and the reasons that we need to love you. You have given us in your word, Lord, how that we may be able to love one another. All we have to do is follow the examples. How do I get there? How do I get there, preacher? Well, you become a member of the body of Christ. How do you become a member of the body of Christ? You come by hearing, believing, repentance, confession, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. But somewhere, I know most of us in here are probably members of the Lord's body. But you know what? You go astray too. And when you go astray, you need to make sure that you can come back. And how do you get back? Well, you get back by going to the Lord, let Him know that, "Lord, I've been short on my doings, my obedience, living Your word in this life that I'm in. And Lord, I need Your help to get back. Lord, I ask You to forgive me and bless me and strengthen me." And then come forward in the church. You know, a lot of folk, they're ashamed to come forward in the church. You know what that tells me? You don't love the Lord. Because if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you before His Father, before our Father, which is in heaven. So I tell you this morning, if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation,